Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Governing to Win, exploring ideas to enhancing national competitiveness. My guest today is Raj Sharma, author of Rethink Government Purchasing and Supply Chains and contributor to the recent IBM Center book, Governing to Win, Enhancing National Competitiveness Through New Policy and Operating Approaches. So Raj, in your piece, you suggest re-envisioning the role of government purchasing from managing purchases and price to managing supply chain and total cost. Would you elaborate on that for us?
Sure. Really, the issue is that right now, all of the work that we do in the federal government in terms of purchasing, or most of it, if you looked at what people are spending most of their time on, the entire workforce, it's really on individually managing contracts, transactions. And a lot of times it is the focus, as much as we talk about best value, it is about managing the price of that transaction. What are we negotiating for that? But we know that, first of all, price versus cost, that there's a lot of times in no matter what you're looking at, price is just a small component of the total cost. So we really need to look at the whole picture. And then two, because we talked about the decentralized nature of government, we're doing things transactionally. We need to take a step back and say, what are the types of things we're buying? Who are we buying them from? Mm-hmm. What are our biggest supply chains, right? And then how do we manage them? So what are the biggest supply chains? So let's say we're acquiring technology expertise around certain types of programs, right? How do we, instead of really reacting to every transaction, every need, say, what's the long-term outlook? What does the need look like? What are the set of capabilities resident in the suppliers? Right? And how do we best work together over the long term and then really figure out how do we then have transactions against that as opposed to so it's really moving to a much more strategic way of looking at what are our long term needs, how does it help us accomplish certain goals, and then who are the partners that we want to work with over time, and then really set up a process and a roadmap to execute against that as opposed to every transaction comes in and then reacting to it.
So, crafting this strategic approach, you're going to need certain key capabilities. And your piece does a wonderful job of outlining at least three key capabilities fundamental to world-class purchasing agencies. Would you tell us what those are?
Yeah. And this is partly in again, as I mentioned, I've talked to many experts and leading thinkers out there. So Dr. Tim Lasseter, who I work with closely, he's at University of Virginia. He wrote a book a few years ago called Balanced Sourcing. And in that, he highlighted key capabilities fundamental to world-class organizations. Those are really, and I agree with those, strategic sourcing is one of them. Sometimes it's called category management. And strategic sourcing, really beyond leverage buying, which a lot of people think it is, it's more about, again, taking a step back and saying, what are the categories of supplies or services we buy, and then how do we strategically manage them? What kind of contracts do we need in place? What kind of suppliers do we need? What capabilities? The second is supplier relationship management, and that's really about many times, whether it's by design or just happenstance, there are many large suppliers that you end up working with. Mm-hmm. How do we really manage those relationships in a strategic way again, as opposed to working with them on one-off contracts? Can we really take a step back and have strategic dialogues with those suppliers and really build a relationship and a framework to say, okay, hey, you're a partner, you're a strategic partner for us. This is what you help us do. Really, how can we both ensure that we deliver against and have the impact that we want? And it's really working and having that open dialogue with suppliers and jointly thinking about where can you drive value. And then the third is cost modeling. The world's best organizations, you look at Honda and Toyota, Japanese really are pioneers at this. They not only understand their costs, but they understand their suppliers' costs and their suppliers' costs. So up and down the supply chain, better than most suppliers do themselves. Again, if we're going to move towards an environment that talks about reducing total cost, you need to first understand what the cost is. And that's a very strategic, technical skill set many times. And so the world's best organizations really invest in that and build that capability. And it really becomes an intelligence. It gives you more transparency into what's going on in your supply chain then.
And you make better decisions, better strategic decisions.
Definitely, because then you're able to see what's driving costs, right? Instead of focusing on, say, oh, should I negotiate this price for a certain piece of equipment, if I know that most of the cost is being driven off of, say, the maintenance part of it, right? If I can figure out and really work with the supplier and negotiate in a certain way to really manage and reduce the maintenance costs, maybe I won't even care about the price because it's such a small component. Mm-hmm. So understanding that cost picture is really critical. Then it helps you focus and lay out your priorities in the right way.
Well, your piece also actually has some very practical suggestions. And one of them is you call for the appointment of a federal supply chain officer that could lead a new office, the Office of Federal Supply Chain Management. Would you describe this new role and the mission of the suggested office?
So really, the issue is similar to we talk about a tactical role for, and I talk about in the chapter about tactical role that the chief procurement officers have. Similarly, the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, that term that for the office itself implies a policy role, as opposed to more of a management role, right? And so really going along with how should the government manage supply chains in total cost, at the highest level, if we can have government-wide visibility through a federal supply chain office, just similar to what the federal CIO does, really, what are the largest supply chains that the government works with, right? Who are the customers? Which agencies? What are the performance measures that the government should really be looking at, outcomes that we want to drive? And then what's the roadmap for making sure that the government is getting something out of it? It doesn't mean that the Federal Supply Chain Office manages all of that, but at least it has the understanding of what are those most critical areas, and then how should we as a government work on those?
Well, there's implications, and I think you also set up the fact, how should the role of department-level headquarters and the role of the chief procurement officer change in this vision?
Yeah, right now, one of the issues is it's a lot of times the headquarters, as I mentioned early on, that because agencies are so decentralized, the headquarters really are many times policy offices. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's very much the case with contracting or procurement. And also, one of the things that we found out in looking at different organizations, many times the chief procurement officer, so here you have a senior executive who's supposed to help manage, you know, billions of dollars most of the time, regardless of what agency you're looking at, of spending, but they don't have any control over their resources. Many times the contracting, the procurement resources are actually controlled by their sub-organizations. They might have the ability to issue them contracting warrants, but they don't actually have any dotted line relationship even with or those people. So the question, we sit back and say, you know, if I was an executive in a private sector company, would I actually take that role on where, you know, I'm in charge and accountable for driving certain performance measures, but I have no control over any resources? So that's one of the things that really needs to happen is we need to at least think about what's the link between resources. So again, it's the importance of human capital. Capital management and understanding that, you know, we need to manage our talent. How can I manage our talent if I don't even control any of it? The second part is, you know, having more capability around some of the key things we talked about, sourcing, SRM, et cetera. But being able to centrally manage, you need more of that capability. And also the other thing that private sector organizations do best, the ones we work with, are things like, you know, disseminate best practices, standardize processes and technology, right? Making sure there's a technology infrastructure, training and human capital planning, all of those things.
What are some of the key challenges faced if you want to do this?
Yeah, the biggest challenge is going to be the change management and, again, the trust, right? I think it goes back to capability because the role of headquarters has functioned a certain way and they haven't built that capability. So all of a sudden now saying we want all this control over resources, one, you know, so you're asking some people to give up control over resources that they had, and so that's a definitely, you're going to see battles over that. The second is the trust issue related to capability, but in the defense of headquarters procurement, they've never had a role to really play, so they haven't had the capability, but so maybe, you know, the way we think about it, it can be done in a progressive, you have to build that, just like in any change management exercise, you have to build it over time, so.
Well, you've mentioned strategic sourcing, and while it's not new in the federal government, it's still sort of in its infancy being used and such. To what extent should federal agencies strengthen strategic sourcing efforts?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I would say that, you know, strategic sourcing as a concept has been around for a long time in the government, but it still hasn't been implemented very effectively. And the biggest reason is most of the time strategic sourcing is being done as a program office, right? You just have some people, but you're not actually integrating strategic sourcing into processes across the organizations. You're not establishing what we call decision rights or ability of, for instance, if you want to centralize some spending of common goods like office supplies, furniture, basic IT, et cetera, you need to then give some funding and formal decision control to central and saying, okay, we can only do this and that. Definitely you can do that through policy right now, but what we've seen is compliance is very difficult to manage that. So really what we really need to do is more integrated into processes and the way we do business as opposed to establishing program offices, which really don't change anything. Definitely you can get some savings. But it those creep back again.
Are there any successes in this area?
Definitely there are successes. I think is some of the work that Department of Commerce is doing right now, for instance, that's been highlighted in their president's campaign to cut waste. They establish a pretty aggressive effort around strategic sourcing. Similarly, Air Force has reorganized, and that's a massive undertaking to really bring together and coordinate some of the spending across. I think the challenge over there might be that they still haven't really taken away some of the decision rights again from all the different commands, et cetera. So you do have at least a central organization, but the challenge there is still the change management challenge of, okay, how do we really get them to work with us, get the customers actually, and across the different entities. So
you have another interesting recommendation, and it's to federal agencies to establish a supplier performance and relationship management program. What exactly would this program look like in practice?
Yeah, so really the issue there is, again, as I highlighted earlier, there are, if you looked at the total $500 billion, you can take the top 100 suppliers and they make up over, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, a big portion of the spend. Can we at least start there and start to gain visibility into what's the amount of business we do with them? Mm-hmm. And can one organization, even as one department, so start to really gain an understanding of who are our top suppliers, right? And can we, at a headquarters level, again, start to manage, at least gain visibility and transparency into what the relationship looks like, what are the set of contracts, what services are they, or products are they delivering, right? And then really establish a framework for how do you manage performance, both performance, so define the measures of performance, and then also where are there gaps in performance so we can develop an improvement roadmap. So a lot of times what companies that are best at supplier relationship management, if they do this right and really, one, establish the measures of performance and then also work closely and together with their suppliers, they're able to really jointly reduce costs. The best companies in the world, frankly, don't even impact the profit. They don't go after the profit percentage of companies. What they do is take the waste out of the entire system so everybody benefits. You can still maintain that same profit level. And another key benefit is innovation. Mm-hmm. So if you're working closer with suppliers, you better understand what are the things they're investing in from an R&D standpoint. What capabilities are they developing? So then if we have a program, we can better understand that when we're laying out our strategic goals, we can make sure that we are able to leverage those capabilities. So we're able to innovate. And the world's best, most sophisticated companies not only use the supply relationship management as a way to manage costs and reduce costs, but it's a way to actually drive the top line and through innovation. So they're able to take technology, they're able to take capabilities that are being developed and use them in their products and their services. And the government, while they're not going to reduce or increase revenues, but they can still deliver better services to citizens as a result.
A little bit off topic, but yeah. it prompted a question around the idea of the way the federal government actually procures stuff. It's through regulation or the FAR, yeah, as an example. How having this kind of relationship program, would there be an impact in terms of the relationship between a supplier and the government?
Yeah, and this does not in any way imply do away with the competitive process,
okay,
right? So you still want to have a competitive process. You want to have a very transparent process. But what you can do is make sure once you have selected the supplier, right, then you're doing certain things to make sure that you're exchanging information and driving the most value out of that relationship. So it is really and the statement I always use is that if you look at private sector companies, mm-hmm, they have the most motivation to get the best deal, right? Because,
yep,
they're profit driven. But they're the ones who drive these supply relationship management the most. Why? If they were actually losing money as a result, they wouldn't be doing this, right? And so they see a lot of value. And you look at the best companies like Honda, et cetera, again, there's a very different mentality in how you work with suppliers. Again, I do want to qualify. I'm glad you asked that question. It does not mean you do away with the competitive process. Mm-hmm. But frankly, the first statement I made around supplier performance measures, mm-hmm, that's one of the things that's missing right now. So you can't do relationship management before you do performance management. And that's a really important thing. So you have to be very smart about it. You can't start saying, well, let's work with suppliers and let's start kind of hugging and dancing together and, you know, make all sorts of good stuff. You have to do your homework as a buyer first and make sure you know what performance standards you're setting. You have a way to collect data against that and you're holding suppliers accountable for that. And that's where these things haven't worked before because government's gone in blind sometimes into these things and just kind of trying to set up long-term relationships, et cetera. But the prerequisite is you got to have performance standards, performance measures, and visibility. So you got to get much more sophisticated about that.
What are the core benefits of pursuing formal acquisition reviews? We will explore this question and so much more when our special edition of the Business of Government Hour returns.